Hi everyone, it's Josh here. Just wanted to let you know that the Crit Awards are coming up. They are awards for tabletop role-playing games, but also for actual plays. And it's peer nominated, which means that you as listeners to Black Armada Tales can nominate us if you'd like to. The awards are hosted on critawards.org, that's C-R-I-T awards.org. And there's lots more detail in our show notes, including a list of categories you can nominate in, the links to the nomination form, and which of the series we've put out are currently eligible. The deadline for nominations is the 31st of May. If you go through to that website, you will notice there's a date there about February 2024. That is the deadline for the content you're nominating to have been produced, not for your nomination. So don't get confused by that. The nomination period covers the whole of 2023 and parts of 2024, which means that our shows that are eligible include Last Fleet, Lovecraft Desk, and Gladiators 2050. We would really appreciate it if you nominated us for an award. There's a wide range of different categories. So whether you think that we've done an individual series that's really great, or would like to nominate one of our players or one of our characters, there's lots of options for you, and you can find more details of that in the show notes. Thanks very much for your support, and on with the show.
Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Ed Tomlinson. My pronouns are he and him. And tonight we are playing Escape from Tentacle City by Willow Palacek. And with me this evening, in standard alphabetical order, first names.
My name is Becky Anderson. My pronouns are she and her. And the faction that I created was the Neighbourhood Watch.
My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him. And I created the Women's Institute. It was my idea. Any historical information to the contrary is simply wrong.
And my name is Nick Bate. Also he, him pronouns. I'm responsible for the underage skate kids, so it's all my fault.
And my name is Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she and her. And I will be trying to inflict maximum damage on the community theatre tonight.
That's just Neighbourhood Watch. Who's playing Wes?
Me.
Wes?
Yep.
I'd like to frame a scene in your living room.
Correct.
And I would like to ask you two questions.
Yep.
I would like to describe how you set up for a Neighbourhood Watch meeting. How do you set up your living room to accommodate everybody?
Yep.
And whether you provide snacks and things like that. I'll answer that question first, and then we'll find out where everybody is arrayed in your living room, and then I'm going to ask you another question.
Yep. So I think my living room, it has like a computer desk in it that's got an old whirring desktop sitting on it, and that's surrounded by notes and piles of paper and post-its stuck to the wall. And there's a comfy armchair that can be angled at the window, the corner window.
Nice.
Which has curtains, like gauzy curtains over it, within easy reach of the armchair so they can be twitched aside for keeping an eye on things. And there are a bunch of mismatched, there's two mismatched couches.
Yep.
Both of them the kinds of things that were probably picked up off the side of the street at some point. And
waste not, want not.
A fold out chair from the kitchen that he brings in. On the coffee table, there's a little tray of tray of mixed sweet biscuits that is just he's just taken the plastic off and put the tray in the middle of the table. They're not on a plate or anything like that, and a pot of freshly boiled tea. It's the
I
same
like
tea.
How you said boiled instead of brewed. Just yeah. Then.
Well, it was going to be coffee for a minute there, but I thought tea's better. Brewed tea, but it's the tea that he's been using all day. He's just added more water to the. to the pot. And so the way he sets up for the team arriving is that he puts out the tray of biscuits and he spins his armchair around so that it faces the rest of the room.
Nice.
Sorted.
And would you all like to describe your characters and where you're sitting?
Yeah, I can do that if we're going alphabetically.
Sorry, I didn't say. Could we go alphabetically first name?
Of the character or the player?
No, just you. Your name.
Okay, so I'm Brian. Everyone just knows me as Brian. I haven't got a surname, so everyone just calls me Brian.
I am wearing a beige pair of trousers, not like not even like a suit trousers, like, you know, those sort of greeny beige trousers that are part of a suit. That is like, why would anyone buy that? He's wearing those with slip-on loafers with a little diddly dangly doobris on them. He's also wearing a tucked-in, highly patterned polo shirt. He has a gold necklace with a hairy chest. He's balding, but he's also in the room. He's got a tape measure. He's measuring up a shelf for Wes.
Aww. Yeah,
because basically people invite Brian to places to get odd jobs done around their house. I don't think they like him very much. They just invite him around to get stuff done. So at the moment, he's fitting a shelf whilst attending the meeting.
Nice. Who's next? Josh.
I think that's me. I think Karen. So Karen is wearing some nice jeans and a white jacket that's made out of sort of fluffy material of some kind. She's got some wedge heel shoes on, and she has commandeered for herself a cup of tea and some biscuits, which she's arranged on the saucer of the teacup, and she is buttonholed, I'm going to say if it's okay, Simon, and is currently animatedly talking about how Debbie, two doors down, is having an affair with the plumber and he won't stop parking his van on the pavement.
Oh my god, some people. So, Nick next.
Yeah, it's Wes.
Sue. Yeah, yep. Wes and then Simon? Yes.
So Wes is in like some sort of khaki coloured cargo trousers and like mismatched stripy socks. He doesn't wear his shoes in the house. He's got a woolen jumper and a baseball cap and a pair of binoculars dangling around his neck, just in case, you know.
Simon?
Simon is very slender. He's currently being cornered by Karen, but his eyes just keep darting around the room, and he's nervously biting his lip as well. And he's clearly someone with a lot of nervous energy. Aww. Can't really stay still. But he is also just eating it up. He loves the feeling of outrage that he's getting from Karen about this goddamn van is just brilliant. He loves it.
I've got to say, my baby will be in the pram in the corner asleep.
Oh, have you got a loved one?
I don't have a loved one. Mechanically, the baby is totally pointless.
I thought you were going to sacrifice your baby at some point during the difficult conversation.
But I thought I'd better have the baby with me, because otherwise I'm going to have to... What if the baby were at, like, daycare and I'd have to insist that we all go traipsing across town to get to the baby?
Could have been at your mum's. Anyway, so I'm going to move on to my next question now, which is Wes.
Yes.
You strike me as the sort of man that, well, let's just say if there had been a spate of shed robberies, would have rigged up some sort of early alarm system.
For my own shed?
Yes.
I mean,
for your own shed.
The alarm system was in place before the shed robberies began.
Of course it was. Tell me about the alarm system you have for intruders on your property. And by on your property, just for the Americans listening, I mean, I assume, like a terraced house with a small garden and a shed in it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm on a corner. So yeah. So my garden is just that tiny bit bigger than everybody else's.
End of terrace, which gets mentioned a lot, I'm guessing.
End of terrace.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've got the too small monitor on the desktop that's sitting on the table behind us is flicking through the security cameras I've got set up around the place. So they're showing you the front of the house, like the front door, and then the hallway inside the front door, and then all of us in the living room, and then the kitchen.
Presumably set up by Brian as part of one of the meetings.
Yeah, no doubt. So it's a team effort. I made it clear where these cameras needed to be to capture any sort of risk points in the building, and Brian did the good solid hard work of getting them in place. And I think that there is a, you know, like unmarked police cars in older police dramas where they need to put the siren on. And so they pull out that the siren and kind of put it on the top of the car.
Yeah.
He's got one of those on the top of the on the top of the computer desk. And so as the cameras are flicking through, when it hits on the one that's pointing, the only one that's pointing into the garden, because it's so small you only need one, there's, I assume, some sort of movement. And then this red light starts spinning. I don't think there's a sound. I think it's just
well,
suddenly
the sound
the
might alert the intruder.
Exactly.
That yeah. You know that they're there. That's not what we're here for. So, yeah, as described, this alarm goes off.
I really want the sound to be your character saying, warning, warning, like over and over again. I'm so sorry.
I'm fine with that for sure. I think probably Wes is halfway through saying he's just taken a mouthful of a biscuit and there's crumbs on his jumper, and he's halfway through chewing it and he says, "I think we all know why we're here." And then, warning, warning, warning. And his head snaps around.
How do you react, team? Wes's warning system's gone off.
I run to the desktop and peer in close to the cameras so that I can pick up where the warning's coming from.
Shed door is slightly ajar.
It's in the shed. The shed thieves. Brian.
Brian sort of stops what he's doing. The shelf hangs down. A piece of crockery lands on the floor. He turns around. What's going on?
The thieves, they're into the shed. Karen, look after the baby.
He sort of pulls his tape measure out nervously. What?
Karen, baby, Brian, shed.
Simon goes, fucking come on! And then just like strides to the back door. And then just in his haste and his ramped up state, can't work out the combination of lifting up the handle and unlocking it with the key. And he's just getting more and more irate trying to get this fucking back door open.
I guess we all shuffle closer to the back door waiting for Simon to deal with it, I guess.
Karen's not budged an inch. She's just like sat there with her tea. She's watching with interest.
Wes, are you going to open the door or is Simon eventually going to work it out?
No, I'm all prepared for this moment,
this
I think.
This is the challenge. This is the role. Can you open the door?
Can you unlock the door?
Local threat level's gone up by two.
Yeah.
This is not our first garden-related rodeo, so I think Wes probably ducks underneath Simon's arm relatively smoothly and works the three locks and the handle and everything and pushes the door open and then steps out of the way to let Brian and Simon.
Simon strides through and is saying to himself, come on then, come on. And just he's got his torch with him as well. And he's just... Simon didn't even stop to get details of what was going on. So, yeah, he's just walking, like, kind of striding towards the shed. Can he see anything on the sort of outside?
The door is ajar. And
Wes shouts, that door was locked!
And it's not, you can't, it's not footprints, but there's a strange kind of sticky, slightly glistening trail leading into the doorway. Maybe it's come over the trail has come over the fence, down the fence, and into the doorway. And then it just goes into the interior of the shed.
So Simon actually slows down a little bit and puts his ear really close to the shed door and then looks back to the kitchen and does some kind of, you know, indecipherable hand movements that he saw on kind of some Andy McNab show or something like that.
That's amazing. So Brian
tapping
Wes,
his temple and
what do you interpret that hand signal to mean?
I think he's telling us the lock's broken and he wants me to repair it. Whereas
what do you
I think I've got some screws.
Amazing.
I think Wes just nods when Brian says that and goes,
I think Karen has now got up and because she wants to see what's going on and is stood by it looking out the kitchen window. And she actually recognises the hand signal perfectly because she watched that same documentary the other day when she was at home. But she doesn't say anything.
Simon, you can hear an unpleasant organic sucking noise getting louder coming from inside the shed. if you didn't know better, you would think that there were some teenagers in there doing something that they really shouldn't be doing in somebody else's shed.
Oh, well, it's like you said that I was going to do an impression, but now I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to attempt that sound.
That was Becky, dear listeners.
Yeah, I made that sound.
Asterisk, not the sound of actual teenagers. Making out.
So Simon sort of takes a couple of breaths just to himself, just to steady himself, steel himself. And then he shouts, you're surrounded. Don't move and come out with your hands up.
I think Brian makes some sort of revvy noises with his drill just to give it a little bit more. And he gives you the thumbs up.
I think the noise increases in intensity, but nobody comes out.
He says, you've got 5 seconds. 1, 2, 5. And then opens the, like throws open the door of the shed and shines his torch in, sort of brandishing it like a gun.
Brilliant. So what you see on the floor of the shed is a tentacle which has come in here in order to give birth to more tentacles. Oh, and God. As you open the door, this kind of, I can only really describe it as a kind of a meaty sphincter.
Wow, you guys are really being imaginative this time round. It's great.
It explodes outwards in your direction, shooting tiny little tentacles about the size of my finger in your face.
Just showering you like...
Yeah, just and there's quite a lot of like mucusy...
ectoplasm.
So I'm just thinking there's a sort of meaty sphincter just throbs for a moment, like warm, and then it just goes like loads of mini prawns flying out.
Yeah, it's exactly what happens.
Oh my God.
You get a
amazing.
Prawn
it's
gun.
A horror game, right? This is.
No, I'm loving it.
Is it a horror game or is it a comedy game or is it.
Such a fine line. Column A.
Well, I mean, Simon. Just falls backwards, clawing at his face, probably hitting himself in the face with his own torch.
Sounds a bit like you're making a Taking Back the Streets.
I think.
Yeah. See, a lot of these do. Your first scene feels like it should be a Taking Back the Street half the time, but there's no threat level for you to really mechanically want to do it. That's what I mean. I think you should immediately up the threat level to try and have something to deal with.
But I want to give you like a low-level Taking Back the Street role so you feel lulled into a sense of false security about how easy the tentacles are to defeat.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. I think that is what we're doing.
I would like Karen to leap into action now, having seen she's seen what she perceives to be a horde of rampaging maggots, and she doesn't like this because that's disgusting. So I think she's going to grab the fire extinguisher that I perceive Wes will have in his kitchen.
One of two. There's one under the sink.
Yes, correct. And she will grab. She doesn't care which ones, whichever's nearest to hand. And she comes running out and attempts to blast the. I think probably attempts to blast Simon's face probably with the fire extinguisher. But eventually might get it pointed at the.
Is
tentacle.
It foam or CO2?
I don't know.
It's foam.
Isn't that dangerous in a kitchen?
I don't know.
It's not the one that sucks the oxygen out of the room, is it?
Does foam do that? No. I don't know anything about fire extinguishers.
Foam is wet, so...
I think roughly at the same time, Wes has run out into the garden shouting, Simon's hit, and is grabbing Simon by the collar and trying to drag him away from the shed. So I'm dragging him at the same time as he's being hosed down.
At the same time, I am trying to shut the door and obviously refit the lock, because obviously that'll hold. It's trying to separate the tentacles, so it's like obviously they're oozing out of the door and some of them being split in half as I shut the door and trying to drill it in. Shut.
Excellent.
Let's roll.
So now we roll?
Let's roll.
I feel like I'm using one of my pieces of equipment this time, though.
What are your equipments?
Oh no! Hang on. I've got a tool belt. No, I'm using a drill, which is another thing.
I'm definitely not using my.
I've got a strimmer. Where did I put the strimmer? Oh, we've got running shoes as well.
But you're wearing your. You just described you wearing your loafers.
high-speed loafers I'm going to put instead.
Running loafers.
Running loafers, yeah.
Are they like Vivo barefoot loafers?
Are they the ones where you've got your individual toes in them or something?
Yeah.
I don't think that's Brian's style.
No.
Maybe it is. Maybe he's got a hidden...
I'm on straight 5d6 at the moment, aren't I?
Yep.
As always, yeah. I'm not rolling any bonuses.
I'm on a plus 3, I think, which is nice.
Plus 3.
1d6. I'm just going to go 1d6.
I've rolled pretty poorly. I'm at 15, chaps.
I don't know.
I got 3.
Oh, just did it.
Jeez.
What, is it a tie?
No, we beat it.
We just pipped it, yeah.
Okay.
So, in that case, just for my own happy memories, can you describe who gives the killing blow and what happens when you do?
It's definitely not me. I'm just dragging Simon around my own garden by his shirt.
Do we actually kill it or do we just lock it?
Yeah,
in
I mean, we shut the sphincter into the shed and there's little things squiggling around on the lawn, perfect lawn.
Falling out of Simon's nose. I mean, it came out at quite some velocity.
And then I guess we just sort of get some rugs, roll Simon in the rugs. And then hit the rugs for a bit.
Like he's on fire.
Once we've had a good go at that, I think Karen will come back out holding a big thing of salt and maybe some vinegar as well. And she'll just start pouring it all over them. So they're kind of simultaneously drowning, burning, drying out.
Perfect.
Maybe some slug pellets too.
They're probably in the shed, I'm afraid.
Simon's very unhappy with the salt and vinegar going into his face wounds, I think.
You've got to get it out. You've got to get it out.
Nice scene.
All right, so it's the street outside Later Skaters, the joint skate shop and record store. This is the coolest place in the world, the whole world, because not only can you buy your skate gear and stuff in here and your records, but it has like an indoor vert ramp. And
wow,
little like rails and stairs and shit that you can do tricks on. And none of you are old enough to go in. You're not allowed in. So we're outside Later Skaters. It's getting real close to tea time. Probably you should all have been home 15 minutes ago. Like I reckon the lights have probably just come on. The street lights have probably just come on. It's a little stretch of shops. There's probably a greasy spoon and a newsagent's and an old hardware store that's maybe only open a couple of times a week at weird hours and a comic book shop, which probably you've been into because you're allowed in that one. Right, so who's stunting and who's filming?
Ooh. I think Felix is a filmer because he's the smallest and weediest, so he's probably wants to take part in it. But he's probably not the bravest of all the group to do any stunts.
Daenerys is hardy and a braggart, so I feel like she is definitely going to be stunting.
Wait, who are you, Ed?
I'm Felix. I'm the sort
Felix.
I'm the sort of very weedy, pasty one, accident prone.
Nice. So what are you filming on?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question, isn't it? I don't think these... Unless it's somebody else's camera and somebody else has got money, if it's his camera...
I've got money.
So what camera is it then? There you go.
I don't know, whatever one my dad bought me. Like,
so it's not a smartphone, it's a video camera?
Thing is, I'm not going to let him have my smartphone, am I? That would be ridiculous. So I probably brought my camera as well. It's like a mini camera thing.
Like a GoPro job.
But yeah, because I've had it for a year and in that... first few months I played with it, filmed loads and loads of things. I got a bit bored of it now, so I'm quite happy for him to have it to film the stunts.
Nice. Daenerys, what are you doing? What's the 6 pack for you?
Daenerys! What is Daenerys doing? So I, Becky, don't know a lot about skateboard stunts.
Make it up.
But I think what I'm trying to do is to skate down a flight of steps and stay on my board.
Are there loads of older... This is outside, isn't it?
Yeah, you're at the front of the shop. There are definitely older kids in the shop currently skating. You can just hear, like, through the front window of the place is tinted, so you can't see inside. But you can hear the music just at the edge of hearing coming from inside. Some kind of rad skater punk.
Is this the second time skaters have been in one of our games, by the way?
Yep.
I think it is.
In the Rise and Fall?
Resident Evil, yeah.
I should have done some research, shouldn't I, in the interim on what good skateboard moves are.
No, but remember, you're all underage skate kids. You don't necessarily know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm only, and when I say down a flight of stairs, I mean like three steps down a flight of stairs. And I'm right next like a handrail so that I can grab on if anything goes wrong.
Yeah, so Felix wipes the snotty snail trail from under his nose onto his black hooded top, leaving a nice glistening snail trail. He pulls up his oversized... So there's sort of these weird skin-tight trousers that's just too big for him because he's inherited them. I think he's still got the little chain and everything. He's probably as old as brothers. And his trainers are massive as well. Everything is too big for him, which is probably why he's clumsy. And he sits on the edge of his scooter and points it, tries to... I think he's probably doing really bad camera work because he's sort of following you down when you're doing the tricks rather than being stationary. So he's trying to move around, follow your head and doing just a terrible job of it.
Did you get it? Did you get it, Felix?
Yeah, I think I got it. I think it looks really good.
Let me see.
And he sort of zooms right into your face, like into your eyeball, and then back again. I don't know what to do with it.
There's an almighty crash from inside the skate shop, and a beat later you hear cheering.
I might go and press my face against the window and see if I can see in. Maybe if I like cut my hands around it, then the tinting won't have quite such a devastating effect on my ability to look in.
Is anyone else doing the same, or is it just Daenerys?
Yeah, I guess so. I think Alfie gets up. He's been sat with a stack of comics that he's just bought, and he looks up from that and comes over to look through the window as well.
I think Harvey starts saying to no one and anyone in the vicinity, oh yeah, they cheered like that for me when I pulled off some awesome stunts when I snuck in last year. But like, I felt really bad that they thought I was older than I was, so I told them how old I was, and that's why I'm not allowed in there anymore. But they totally cheered like that for me, though. It was so cool. I'll show you sometime when I get... I can't do it right now because of the wheels on my scooter need replacing, but I will totally show you next time that I've got new wheels.
Felix can videotape that.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe it. What sort of tricks did you do?
Oh, well, it was kind of a hybrid. I think I can't really explain it. I need to show you, really, but I can't do it right now. So, yeah. It was really cool, though, and they cheered, like, twice as much as they're cheering now.
Mm-hmm.
Through the window, Daenerys and anyone else who's glaring through, you can see that like there's motion around the vert ramp inside, but you can't tell what's going on.
Excellent. Time for me to make something up. And then I'll say, I think some kid's just broken their elbow.
Felix tries to press the video camera right up against the window and record. He's trying to press all the buttons. He's probably just deleted a load of stuff.
Whose watch alarm goes off saying it's time to go home?
It'd probably be mine, wouldn't it? I mean, I've probably got the most overly protective mother. And I'm trying to ignore it, but my Staffy, whose name is...
Have you got a dog with
SpongeBob.
You?
SpongeBob, aww. Yeah.
He's pulling on my sleeve. He starts jumping up, pulling on my sleeve to go home.
The music cranks up a notch inside and there's another round of cheers coming from the... latest skaters.
Oh, guys, can't we try and get in again? I'm sure my brother said there was a back entrance, but we never found it. Maybe we should have another look before we go. SpongeBob, get off!
Yeah, let's go in the back. That'll be cool. Just let me get my comics.
Sure, you can go around the back. It's a stretch of like a half dozen shops. There's just a little alleyway down the back. It's got the bins in it. Sometimes you use it as a shortcut.
Perfect. I feel like I'm not really channeling the underage skater enough because I feel like I should be saying bra.
Oh, no, we're not doing that.
But I just can't bring myself to do it.
Is that what underage skaters say these days, is it?
Raffi and his friends just say that to each other, like, constantly.
Oh, God.
I'm traumatised if you say that, so just don't do it.
Do they say Riz as well? That's another one I've heard recently.
Yeah, they say Riz. Riz. But I don't mind Riz because it makes me think of D&D stats. So I feel like it's secretly super nerdy and they don't realise. This comes stat. With charisma, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
I think Alfie's excited by this getting in plan and wants to try and climb on the bins to see whether this will enable access to something.
Sure, there's an open window just above the bins. It goes into the toilets. It's
you
about...
guys, there's an open window! We're doing this!
I told you, my brother told me.
Give me a boost. Give me a boost.
Right, let's get boosting. I know the only thing is I've got a BMX bike, not a...
yeah.
Not the other thing, so how am I going to get that?
I'll let you borrow my skateboard if I get rid of your comics.
You could use my microscope if you want.
Let's get the bins and put them next to the window and then we can climb them.
We're totally going in there.
Who's going in first?
Oh, I think me, because I got up first, so...
Nice. So I reckon you're halfway through... What was your name again?
I'm terrible. Alfie.
Alfie. I work with an Alfie.
Oh, how big's this window, though?
It's big enough for a little kid to get through.
Alfie's not really a little kid. He's quite...
His nickname's Chunk, apparently. So.
He's quite copious. He could probably get through, though, with a bit of...
He'd get through. It'd just be a bit more of a squeeze than...
Yeah. Maybe someone can push him from behind a bit.
As that's happening, as you're pushing someone from behind, you're halfway in the window, Alfie, and you can hear the music and you can hear the cheers. And then you hear a crunching sound and some screaming. And then the door next to the bins that you're climbing out of smashes open. And someone comes running out shouting. One of the older kids.
I mean, like, I'm facing the wrong way to see that bit. I can hear it.
Yeah, everybody else
can see it.
Yeah, so I guess SpongeBob... So I think Felix gets knocked over and SpongeBob is barking at the teenager. To sort of protect Felix at this point.
Your late for home alarm is still going off on your watch.
Yeah. I think he turns it off like a snooze thing, so it'll just go off every few minutes. Like, it'll stop for a few minutes and then it'll start again. I think that's the...
Why have you stopped pushing? Keep pushing. I'm nearly through.
Daenerys is going to let go of Alfie and stick a foot in the door so it can't shut.
Push. Keep pushing. I'm nearly in.
No, Alfie, you come down. We've got an easier way.
What?
We'll pull you from the other side.
Daenerys, you nearly get knocked off your feet with Felix when a couple more teenagers come barreling out through the door next to you that you just propped open.
What's going on? I shout after them.
One of them goes, run!
I think there's a bit of undignified squirming from Alfie. He eventually managed to extricate himself from the window. But looks quite pissed off at people having, you know, suddenly abandoned the attempt to get him inside. This better be a good... He says, this better be a good way to get in, because I was nearly in there.
The door's open, Alfie.
Okay, that's quite good. I'm going to go and get my bike.
Although all these people keep coming out and running away.
More in for us.
They look terrified, these people who are running away.
Maybe we should be a bit careful.
Maybe they did something stupid and got in trouble.
Maybe. That's probably true, isn't it?
Or maybe someone got really, really, really hurt and they just can't deal with the sight of blood or, like, bone or stuff. Which I don't mind, really. I'm used to it. But, you know, some people can't handle that.
All right. Weaving your way through the back areas, past, like, a stock room that's just got piles of skate junk piled up all over the place. And a little office space with scraps of paper everywhere. The music's still going, but you don't see any more people.
What music is it?
Some kind of skater punk stuff.
He was a skater boy. That one.
Yeah, definitely that one.
We're so old, aren't we?
I feel old, very old.
I feel extra old now.
So the door is open to the skate shop itself. It's lit a little bit like a...
Free stuff!
Kind of like a nightclub-y kind of vibe. So it's dark in corners, but there's bright lights in various places. And the vert ramp is on the left as you come through the back door. You're all going through? Nobody's decided this is a bad idea?
Hell yeah!
Come on, we're going in because we've never been able to get in. So even if we're in there for like 1 second... We're going to go in there, right?
And whoever said they probably got caught doing something bad and they're running away because you know, they maybe got caught stealing or something, or they broke somebody's arm.
It's like a different level. Like, they're slightly more adult. It's probably something adult, like there's been a fight or something. Like, we're too young to really be involved in the same level of complex stuff. Yeah. So
this is our one and only chance, so we're going in.
Yeah, it literally is, so we're going to take
and
it.
And I'm getting on that vert ramp. I am going to go on that vert ramp. I don't even know what a vert ramp is.
Like a half pipe.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going on it.
So as you come around the corner towards that vert ramp, Alfie, you see, as you're stepping out into the store, it's deserted in here. There's everybody's gone. You can still hear the tinkle of the bell that hangs over the front door through the music that's being broadcast through the place. So everybody who didn't go out the back went out the front. And the first thing you see is a smear of red down the vert ramp in front of you as you're coming around the corner.
Told you someone got injured.
Whoa. Is that blood? Is it real?
And as you move a bit further forward, this ramp is wooden. And in the center of the ramp, a hole has just been smashed into the center of the ramp. There's this kind of dark, gaping cavern leading down from the middle of the vert ramp.
What? We finally make it in here and we can't even use the ramp?
This is so shitty.
This sucks.
When Alfie says shitty, he looks around to check that there were no adults. Sorry to say that.
Felix, your watch alarm goes off.
Beep, 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 beep. I press it off. I think SpongeBob is getting more like barky and urgent and like trying to pull on my extremely baggy jeans, which expose my SpongeBob underpants as well, matching. But I sort of bat him away and I say, look, there's no one in the shop.
Why is there a hole in the ramp, though? It's weird. Do you think those big kids did it?
Have you got a torch?
Of course I have a torch. I've got my smartphone app and put the torch on that. Yeah, my smartphone comes with a torch app.
Hey, Harv, I wonder what would happen if you dropped a firecracker down there.
Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Okay, you're gonna put a firecracker down there. I'm going to record it, okay? Just let me get the camera app up. Okay, I'm filming. I shine the torch towards the hole.
And just on the screen, as you shine the torch down there, you just catch a glimpse of something. There's like this cavern opened up beneath the vert ramp. And just at the edge of the cavern, you catch a glimpse of movement as something moves back away from the light.
Right.
Harvey lights up a whole kind of string of firecrackers and chucks them down the into the hole.
So I think two things happen in quick succession. A bunch of firecrackers go off down this hole. They blow out the camera on the phone. You can't see a damn thing as these fireworks go off. And Felix, you're perusing the shelves some distance away. You hear a siren. It's like a police siren. It comes just seconds after the firecrackers go off.
We better go. Come on.
Shut up, Felix. We're not going.
Come on. The police.
Oh, shit. The police. We're not supposed to be in here. We're not.
No, he doesn't say the police. He says, the popo. The popo are coming.
We're not old enough to be in here. I could get in real trouble. I'm late for my tea as it is.
We could get blamed for the hole or anything.
Okay, I'm going to run away.
I'm not afraid of the pigs. And Alfie will, like, throw a hand gesture that he thinks is cool as he says that.
Well, you can stay here. I'm going out the back.
So I guess we could either go for looting, in which case I will try and steal something from the shop, or we could go for getting the hell out of here and moving on to another location, I suppose.
Yeah, those are the two things that jump out to me as well.
Ooh, I like looting.
I mean, there's got to be some good shit here, right?
Yeah.
And not that I really need any shit. I've got too much shit already, but...
You can get better shit. How does loot work?
Do they have Spooky Dokies? Do you remember them?
It's a skate shop. They're not going to have Spooky Dokies.
What do they? I think of BMXs as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so you get, if you win, you get one item. If you win by five or more, you'll get two.
Yeah, you get
or one pimped out item.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Each.
And you agree who's going to get the item.
Oh.
No, not each.
One item?
I'm going to loot.
Hang on, hang on. So what is it that we want?
Some stuff. I mean, you
can figure that out after the roll, right? Yeah. If you fail, you get nothing.
Fine. Right, hang on. So what are... let me just look at my bits and bobs.
Mine's just a straight D6, I think.
Yeah, mine is as well, yeah.
Same, same.
Mine's just a straight D6, and I rolled a 3.
2.
So we're on 10 at the moment.
I'm on it. I'm going to roll, definitely going to roll a 6 this time, because it's time, my turn to roll a 6. Now I rolled a 1.
So what's your total?
Nothing. I mean, it's if you can't beat 11.
Yeah, no, I've got 20.
What?
Oh, no.
Let's be grateful it was a loot roll and not a take by the streets or travelling roll.
But what happens now, Ed?
So that means the tentacle's going to take one of us out.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay, that's not good.
Yeah, so if the tentacles win by 5 or more, the survivors fail, the local threat increases by 1, and one of the survivors will die. So we go through a voting round. So we will put in the message the character that we want. When the tentacles win by 5, someone is going to die. Every player, whether they have a character in the survivor group or not, gets to vote. Everyone should write down the name of one of the survivors in the group. Once everyone reveals, whichever character has the most votes killed by the tentacles. So what I normally do is we write it in the chat and then press enter at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
So character name, yeah?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you are blessed by having a very hard to spell character name, Becky, in this instance. I don't know.
And the kids as well. Usually we're all like...
I mean, the thing is, I'd go for Harvey, but he's such a great character.
Ooh, great characters, Ed, I think.
If you die, what happens in the next scene that you would have been in?
What do you mean?
They'll play the dog.
You're just not in
it. Well, you're just NPCs.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's only a scene, because then you move on.
I mean, as the chief risk taker is what I mean about Harvey. He seems like the obvious choice, but...
Harvey did just fling a load of firecrackers into a hole. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. But we're not supposed to be discussing it, are we? We're supposed to write a name. So, stop being bad, Ed.
Right, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
So we all hit enter?
Down, Ed.
3, 2, 1. What are we putting it in? Oh, yeah. There we go. I'm glad I got it right.
Oh
man.
It's Alfie.
It's Alfie. He's your fighter. What are you doing?
Yeah, so then you, Josh, get to narrate how they die.
I mean, I think probably Alfie like steps closer to the hole with his camera going, oh, I'm not quite getting it. You're going to have to do it again. Who is it has the firecrackers?
Harvey.
It's Harvey.
He turns to Harvey while still holding the camera pointing at the hole and says, Harvey, you got to do it again. And everybody else can see the tentacle kind of whip up. You know, like the bit in Lord of the Rings where the whip grabs Gandalf? It spirals up. And you can also see it on his phone screen, by the way. It's perfectly captured. This time, as it just grabs him by the ankle, and he's like, huh? And then just into darkness. Oh, and maybe, yeah, holds on for a moment by his fingertips, though, and just goes, help! Before being pulled away.
Oh, and no.
Police sirens getting louder and louder as this is happening.
So I've increased the local threat level by 1, put a little skull and crossbones, little skull on Alfie, sorry. Oh, why did it have to be this case?
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Escape from Tentacle City by Willow Polacek. You can find links to Escape from Tentacle City and to our stuff in the show notes. We also have a Discord and we'd love it if you came out and hung out with us there. You can find the link to that also in the show notes. Finally, don't forget, we love your nomination for the Crit Awards. Deadline for that, 31st of May, so please get your nominations in as quick as you can. See you next time.
I have been playing Unpacking. Have you played Unpacking, Sue?
I love Unpacking. It's such a beautiful little game.
Yeah, it's... Although I've just moved into that big house where there's loads of rooms. It's a bit overwhelming. It's like, where the hell am I supposed to start with this? There's a lot of unpacking to do. But yeah, it's...
What the hell is Unpacking?
It's a game where you unpack stuff. And, but in, so you start off in your childhood room, unpacking into your childhood room, and then it moves forward a period of time, and then you're unpacking in your university room, and then it's your first flat, your shared flat, isn't it? And then, so there's like a story within the unpacking about the person's life that you're sort of revealing. So there's things that you unpack in the very first one that you continue to unpack in future houses, which sort of, so you become very fond of certain items because they make an appearance.
Yeah, you're like looking through boxes going, where's that thing? Where's
yeah.
That?
Yeah, like there's a cookie jar, for example, which appears quite a lot. And,
yeah.
And then you move in with your partner, so then you're trying to unpack and put your stuff in with their stuff. Rather than it being like a completely your place.
What's this game on?
It's on everything, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm playing it on PlayStation.
It must be on Switch. It's such
a
Switch-y
I got it on
game.
PS4, yeah. PS4.
Because there's no dialogue or anything. You're literally just unpacking boxes, but somehow they've woven this really sweet story into it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
So initially it's quite stressful as you get stuff out and you're sort of like... I don't know where to put it. Well, there's too many things. And then over time, you put it all away.
It's just
and
like
then,
real life.
And then you go away from that room to a room you're unpacking, come back to the room that you've unpacked, and you look at it and go, oh, this is great. I've just unpacked this. Doesn't this look room look great unpacked? It's a very nice experience.
You could play through the whole thing in an evening. It's a really short little game. It's really, it's really
sweet. It's taking me ages.
Are you just trying to be perfectionist about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. You've got choices like, do you want to put all the DVDs on the same DVD shelf or the sort of all the chickens in one shelf or whatever? Yeah. You could be as exacting about it and take lots of time, or you can just...
Can you order your books by group them by colour instead of...
Well, so some of the spines have different patterns, so I have started to... match the pattern, so there's clearly some that are more textbook like than there are sort of your fiction books, so I sort of tried to separate those out and things. So as you do it more often, Jesus, you sort of Christ. Spot these patterns. But like, you initially you're like,
I'm not sure our real house is tidy enough to justify this computer game, like,
this is exactly what my wife said about it. It's like, why are you doing, have you seen our house? Why are you doing it there when you can be doing it? Because this is, I know that this is going to be ordered and complete, and no one's going to touch it and move stuff around.
That's a good point. Yeah, satisfying.
It's so painful, isn't it? The business of clearing and tidying your house when you've got children, and then you turn around. And it's like you did nothing. Those 4 hours you spent were nothing.
Yeah. It's like if you have the weekend to yourself in your house and you tidy the house up, and then you wake up the next morning and it's still tidy. It's like an amazing experience.
I don't even remember that.
It does. It does happen. Yep, it can happen.
I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey at the moment, and it's the first Assassin's Creed game I've ever played.
I played the Italian Renaissance one. Is the one I played, which is quite nice actually. Yeah, because you go down around Florence and things, doing loads of murders.
Yeah, I'm exploring Greek islands, which I quite enjoy since. Yeah, they're quite pretty.
Nice.
We should go on holiday to some Greek islands.
Aren't you? No, Where are you going?
Corsica. Corsica. French island.
That's mm. French, isn't it? Yeah.
Completely
but
different.
But it's like weird French, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like... Italian French.
Well, I went to Sardinia, so it's Italian French.
Yeah. I'm expecting to eat some delicious pizza, but also eat my body weight in baguette and butter. I mean...
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a perfect combo.
It is. It really is. And I might throw in a croissant.
Pastry pizza. That's what you want.
I'm just going to buy like 5 baguettes every day and that's all we're going to eat. And do you know what? That would probably make the children really happy.
Do you think anyone's ever made a croissant-based pizza?
I'm sure someone has.
I'm pretty sure you used to be able to buy them like frozen in the supermarket. Was that not like... Didn't Findus do a like a a pizza on half a baguette.
Oh, half baguette? That's not the same at all.
Yeah, French bread pizza.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, they do burgers in donuts, so they must do burgers in croissants.
Burgers in donuts?
Sorry, yeah. Who does burgers in donuts?
Why does people do burgers in donuts?
Well, I don't want to name any names in terms of nations. But I've seen it online.
Australia.
Yeah, it's Australia. No.
Oh, come on.
No, then it'd be
if
a giant,
if it had shrimps on it, maybe.
Shrimp in a donut.
Hey, we invented avocado toast. We invented flat whites. We invented all that good stuff.
Isn't a flat white just a coffee with white with lots of milk in it, though? I mean, did you really invent that?
I think I was eating avocado toast before I even knew what Australia
Bill,
existed.
What's his face? Bill, what's his face, who died recently, invented avocado toast, didn't he?
You can't invent it.
Name.
It's just toast and another thing that you put on toast.
No,
I don't think you can claim...
What's his name? Bill somebody.
Oh, I invented jam on toast.
The guy who smiles in a really excessively smiley way.
Bill Bailey.
He's recently died.
He's like an Australian TV chef.
Yeah.
And as he cooks, he'll look at the camera and give you this, like, very over familiar smile, in my opinion. I found
Australian
it a little bit disturbing.
Chef.
He invented avocado toast. He's called Bill something. Come on, Nick. We're supplying
his surname. I don't remember his last name.
Oh, God.
You know who we're talking about, though.
Yeah.
Blonde.
No!
That's all we needed was to know that we were being
validated. And now I can't write him a letter saying, did you really, are you claiming you invented avocado toast?
Guardian pretty much put it in his obituary.
Mm.
Invented putting something on toast.
Yes.
Something specific on toast.
Yeah, that hadn't been put on toast before. Man's
ever.
Avo.
Right. Okay. In the meantime, Sue, what video game are you playing?
I'm playing Dredge at the moment.
Right.
Which is, you're going around in a little old fishing boat.
Nice.
Just
dredging stuff
getting
up.
Fish, but, and you're travelling between islands, but the whole thing is shrouded in a kind of Lovecraftian mystery. So you're pulling out all these, like mutated, weird fish, and you take them to the fishmonger and he's like, oh, that's really weird, but yeah, here's loads of money for these weird fish.
You're like,
and
this is going to pay off big time.
That's fine. Yeah.
If I fish near this nexus thing, this swirling
and
nexus pool.
You're
the first person to put that on toast.
You're trying to get back. You're
and claim
dock.
It. I've invented it.
You're trying to dock before it gets dark because all the weird, really weird stuff comes out at night and like makes you crash your boat and does stuff to your brain.
It does sound good.
It sounds a bit like this. There was that sort of big online, I think it was browser based, which is like a Victoriana based ship game.
Fall in London.
That's it. That's the one.
I played that for absolute bloody ages.
Very similar sort of vibe, I think. Yeah, my brother played that a lot, so Fallen London. So once you finish Dredge, there you go. I've also bought Cocoon, which is by the same people that did Limbo, but I haven't been brave enough to start engaging my brain enough to do it. But I'll let you know how I get on with that.